Blog Talk Radio.
This is a League of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country, a league of Jacksons and Kwongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league, her league, and their league. It's my league, and it's your league. This is our league.
Well, it's our league, but now, it's sort of now turned into a real, I don't even know how to explain it. It's turned into something really weird. It truly has, because now Saskatchewan has won. Before we talk about Saskatchewan, let's talk about the Hammer Townies. I'm still wearing a Hamilton Tiger Cat shirt. So it is with the great disappointment that I must say that the team from Ontario was beaten by the only team from Saskatchewan. And it was a well-deserved victory. It was close, right up until the national anthem. But then it got a little worse. Some Hamiltonians, if you will, got on a 56-hour bus ride or paid $1,400 for a flight and tickets. Austin had won five straight in the playoffs. Louis Congee looked great. In fact, even during the game, I mean, the guy was dead on. I mean, the wind was no factor with Luca. He did a great job. The turning point in the game, in my opinion, all joking aside, was not the national anthem, although it might have been. It was more or less those two fumbles that were up for grabs, and both ended up, one back in Durant's hands, and the other allowed Sheets to run and scamper for a few yards, turning a sack into a gain. And, it was meant to be, and I think after those two plays, I think both teams knew it wasn't going to be Hamilton's night. And sure enough, it was not. And I think at that point, the destiny thing started to sink in both teams. And unfortunately for Hamilton, it wasn't their destiny. Instead, they, like the rest of the teams in the league, go hungry this year. And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders end up with a championship, and they have the cup for this year. So congratulations to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Now, you're not going to hear me talk about any bad penalty calls. Whether there were, whether there weren't, doesn't really matter. They won. I believe they won fair and square. The only thing I'll say is taunting. That was a weird penalty. That was really the only officiating question I had. Again, there was that fumble business that goes on, and was it picked up immediately? The implication is, do you recover the fumble fast enough? I didn't know there was a clock running when you fumble the ball, but apparently there is. And that play was consistent as it was throughout this year. It went, the way it should, I guess, considering how it had gone. And I guess another thing to talk about is this great green machine the building of a dominant team. They win 45-23 over the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the 101st Grey Cup, 2013 version. And 45,710 fans were at the game, of which 110 were probably Hamilton fans. So we could say 210. How's that? Still leaves 45,500 rabid, green-wearing, melon-headed, funky-faced Saskatchewan Rider fans in their glory. And I'm glad they're enjoying it. A lot of people, as does happen when a popular team like Saskatchewan wins the Grey Cup, a lot of people just can't stand it. And it's understandable. It totally is. But folks, remember this. Back in 1995, for the first time in years, Saskatchewan Rough Riders turned a profit of $27,000. Until then, they were a losing proposition. And now, they are probably, well, they actually are, probably the most profitable team in the CFL, and they probably have the most passionate fans in the league, at least numerically speaking. So shortly in 2017, there will be a new stadium, a new edifice that may or may not have Austin's mug adorning. But it'll be a $278 million stadium opening in 2017. And I'm sure it's going to be an awesome edifice. I'm sure it's going to be a great building. So, about the game, no arguments about MVP Corey Sheets. Breaks a 57-year record. 197 yards rushing. MVP Canadian Chris Getzlaf, brother of Getzlaf in of the Anaheim Ducks. Ryan, that is. G. Roy Simon was 0 for Grey Cup and had 2 touchdowns last night. So tonight we'll talk to the whoever's available to talk to us today. Probably the usual suspects. Corey Chamblin versus Kent Austin. George Cortez versus rookie defensive coach Orlando Steinauer. How about Damian Durant versus Henry Burris? The weather, I think more than the temperature, what was a problem or may have been a problem was the 30 to 50 kilometer per hour winds. And the temperature was started at game time at 1 degree centigrade and finished at about -2. So that's not, today that's what we had. I was raking leaves in that weather and it didn't seem so bad. Yeah, you needed gloves. Anyway, did the Rider Nation get inside the Tabby's heads? Specifically, Hank Burris. Why wasn't Forrest Gump a better influence on the Hamilton Tiger Cats? In fact, Forrest Gump, being Tom Hanks, during the game changed his allegiance from Martin Short's Hamilton team to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It's good to know that Tom Hanks is a Fairweather fan. And another note that really amazed me, that rocked my world, is the 50-50 draw. If you want an indication of how, how amazing it is to go to Mosaic to watch a football game, in a 50-50 draw, you can win $262,000. So there you go. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 101st Grey Cup champion here in 2013. Maybe we'll hear from some people who've been to the party, who know exactly how it went, what happened, and all that wonderful stuff. But for now, we're going to join our friends that we normally have on the air. And I've got 4 of them right now. And hang on a second here. I want to do something. Okay, we'll start with a promo.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having more popcorn?
Hello.
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 And so it's time to say hello, hello, and hello. Let's start with Rob. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. I'm all upset.
Why?
My toy cats are gone.
Well, so's the rest of the league.
I know, but toy cats are supposed to win it.
In whose world?
But you know what, John? I even knew you were there because I knew your voice, okay?
But tell me, Rob, tell me that all that matters was that you bet us in the Eastern Final, and you, that's all that you're happy about.
That's
but let me tell you,
about.
Robbie, if you don't drink out of the cup, who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's all I care about is Hamilton beat Toronto to the Grey Cup.
Of course you do. But you know what, Robbie? You can go get that patch that says Eastern Finals champions. I'd rather wear the Grey Cup champion patch that I got on my jacket, all right? So you go get that patch for Eastern Final champ. Go for it, Robbie. Oh, is there a cup for the Eastern Final? I don't think so. I think you have to hold the trophy up. And wasn't that a jinx?
Uh-huh.
Lesson learned, Ticats. Don't touch the trophy. I think that works. I think that myth works. Or
in our, in our fourth in the quorum, I think, is Christopher Jones, isn't it?
I'm here.
Yep. Hey, Christopher, how you doing?
I'm doing damn awesome. How are you guys?
You know, I wore the Hamilton jersey and it didn't help. And
it looked good on you, though, Frank. The Hamilton colors look great on you.
Well, thank you. I think
next year. I think next year you should switch from the Argo colors to red black colors. You know, just throwing out a little suggestion. You know.
Oh, hey, listen, I'll wear anybody's jersey.
Yeah. So when you come to Ottawa, and if I go. Actually, I will go. I better see you there wearing a Red Blacks color shirt.
Only
Red
if you bring
it. If not, I'm going to go buy you one.
There you go.
Well, Robbie, you can buy me one when I come out there.
Okay.
There
I'll
you go.
I'll do that for you, John.
Yeah, Rob, you can buy
I'm
us all one,
Ottawa.
Robbie. I'll wear one, too. What the hell?
I just want to get to one point I had in the game. Is that
but how do you know, Rob, I'm ready to talk about that point in the game?
Oh, I don't know.
You're assuming a lot.
A few things that are on my mind about this, but
well, let's get that stuff off your mind because we don't want you to get a hernia. Now okay, get what's on your mind off your mind.
Okay. Burrs used Fantuz too much. He didn't use anyone else, but he only went to Fantuz. I don't know if it's because they're both used to the winter weather, because Burris is from Calgary and Fantuz is from Saskatchewan. That could be a combination thing that, listen, Fantuz, I'm going to start using you. I'm going to use you the whole game because you're used to cold
weather.
I disagree
wholeheartedly. He went to other guys, and the problem was the other guys weren't catching the ball, except for our French-Canadian receiver, who was catching the 8 and 9 yard passes.
Yeah, but and sorry to just like drop onto another subject. What the heck on earth was Marwan thinking when he snapped that ball right past Burris?
He didn't snap it past Burris.
Yeah, Burris wasn't
Burris
even
was
looking.
There. Burris
he wasn't
was there.
Even ready in the and Marwan snaps the ball, shoom, right past Burris. Burris standing there with his hands up in the air looking around going, what the heck was that for? Meanwhile, all Saskatchewan players are doing is jumping on the ball because it's loose and it's live. It's like, I'm like, Marwan, what the, you know, I was getting
Fantuz? Wasn't it Fantuz that ended up on it?
No, it was. I think so. No, it wasn't Fantuz.
Yeah, it was Fantuz. They didn't lose the ball. Fantuz did what he. Well, let me ask you a question because I wanted to go through stuff one thing at a time. But you know what? I'll look here. I sent the guys what we'd be talking about, what I was interested in talking about.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, in honor of you being a Hammertownie, well, fan wise.
Yeah.
Do you think the 56-hour bus ride and $1,400 flight and tickets was well worth it for that game?
No. No.
Do you think some Hamilton fans that went were very, very disheartened by the manner in which their team was, well, pretty much they were abused and really horribly, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
To me, it was a disgrace.
There you go.
I enjoyed watching it because it's CFL football and I love the game, but the score at the end of the game,
I disagree.
You know, the halftime score was what, 44-16?
No. It was like 30, it was like, was it 30-8 or something, or 13?
Well,
First of all, Robbie, I think Chris was going to say disagrees too, but it wasn't a waste for those fans who went. What they did was admirable as Ticat fans. Their team hasn't been in it for, what, over a decade. If you could get a loan, you should have went regardless, knowing that they're going to get killed. It's showing your passion and your dedication to your team. You damn right you should go. And if it doesn't happen in 10 years, you know, if they were in it in the last 3-4 years once or twice, you know, okay, fine, you can skip that. But the fact that they made it, and they made it past, you know, the Grey Cup champs, the Argos, and made it to that. Come on, everybody. Those guys who went out there, kudos for on you. Great to see Ticat fans, the ones that were in the stand. Love to see that. Don't love the Ticats, but I love the passionate fans. That's a thumbs up for me. So
yeah.
Agreed.
I agree.
Agreed. And that game was not a disgrace to Hamilton.
No, but
well,
they were outclassed.
That...
They were outplayed.
Nobody expected them to win. I think they did very well. They kept it really close till the fourth quarter, and then the wheels fell off the bus.
Yep.
Do you know?
I mean, they were within two touchdowns.
Yes, they were. You know,
they were within two touchdowns, and that's nothing in our league.
No, nothing at all. Christopher, would you and guys? Well, it's probably the answer is pretty self-explanatory. You know, the question will lead. I'm kind of leading you guys on with an answer. There were two fumbles early, one that Durant recovered over top of a Ticat, and the other one was that the one that popped up midair and ended up in Sheet's hand for good yardage.
Yeah, those two plays.
You know, it almost seemed to me that because Saskatchewan got the ball in those two plays, they were the two biggest opportunities for Hamilton to change or at least gather the momentum in the game. And they just were unlucky and didn't make those plays. If they had got either one of those, I think the turnout in the game would have been different. What do you guys think?
It was 3-0. It was 3-0 when Durant was tackled and the ball went up in the air and Sheets recovered it.
Yeah.
If Ticats had recovered that and picked six or ran it back for six or at least got into a scoring position for this thing, 10-0, Riders would have been a little bit off balance for the rest of the game. It wouldn't have turned out the way that it was. But, you know, for Sheets to grab it and wander down 42 yards with it, I mean, that was amazing.
I'm
sitting there going, oh, my God, close the coffin.
Yeah, prior to that, nothing was going on for the Riders. Nothing was happening for them. I thought, this is like two and outs, and no first downs. Ticats had the momentum, I thought, in the first 10 minutes of the first quarter. And it wasn't until that one, and that's bobble. Hey, listen, the 13th man helped that play where Burris didn't get the snap, okay? That was all the crowd did that. And so there you go. The fans did make an effect. It made a turning point on that one, too, because they ended up recovering the ball, and Sheets took it in for a touchdown on that one. So a lot of, you know, turnovers were the name of the game yesterday, and it backfired on the Ticats for the Ticat fans. But I think for the first 10 minutes, it was one of those things that nobody can say, hey, wait a minute, 3-0, what's going on here? They might have a chance. And then, well, the rest is history, guys. Turnovers.
Well, unfortunately, they didn't get the breaks that they needed. What I really admired about Hamilton, and I think Christopher's going to say the same thing, I mean, the way they stood up after that terrible, terrible giveaway, and then they were with their backs to the goalposts, and then they had the takeaway. Incredibly, You know, the announcers were saying they need the defense. Steinauer has his guys have to do something here. If Hamilton has to have, if Hamilton's going to have a chance, something has to happen here. The defense has to come through. Even a goal line stand will do. Even if they might even give only 3 points. And then Hamilton gets the ball, and they just couldn't capitalize. It seemed even with every opportunity they did get, you know, the defense did a great job, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
Without question.
Let me ask you about, let's start with the players last night. Sheets was incredible. 197 yards, Chris. MVP, no question.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a question, though. If he's got a, what was it, 196 yards, 192 yards?
197, but yeah, go ahead.
197. I was told, and I don't know whether this is true or not, did that 42 yards that he got off the Durant fumble count as a run? And count,
I bet
that
it
was
did.
Counted
yeah,
as a
it
handoff?
It did. It counted as a run.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that was not. That
no,
was a
it was
fumble
not a play.
Recovery.
It was a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
If it was meant to be that way, I'd like to see Durant throw it up in the air like that.
In other words, the question is, was that part of the 197 yards? And Rob J. Emery is saying yes. I'm not saying yes because I don't know. Christopher, I'm not going to answer that question because, you know, honestly, I assume it was because, you know, once you, like, that 42 yards made a big difference in his totals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that he didn't have a great game, but that 42 yards turned a great game into a record-breaking game.
Yeah.
If that's the
case. And it's not a record-breaking game if that's what counts.
Well,
that just goes back
to the
parrot is.
Unless the rule is that play started off as a run with Durant running it, and he fumbled, which then Sheets carried on the run. Okay? In that case, it's a run.
Yeah, but John, I think to Chris's point, Christopher's point, it's
a fumble
recovery.
I get it.
Not a run.
I get it.
It wasn't a play.
But it wasn't a thrown fumble recovery. Like, you know, it wasn't one of their players who got it on a throw. He ran a couple of steps, fumbled it, and then Sheets picked it up. You know what I mean? Then it would be a fumble recovery. This was a – I don't know. I'm just hypothetically guessing if what
I'm,
Rob is
I'm
saying.
I'm trying to remember
I understand exactly what you
– Was he
I understand
behind –
what you're saying, John, here.
Yeah. I'm just saying if Rob – I don't know if that's considered as a run, though. I would consider it more as a fumble recovery.
Yeah, it would be a fumble recovery. It wouldn't be a run. If he would have just handed the ball off to him, it would be a run. But no,
hang on a second here.
Let Chris have a point. Hold on, Robbie. Let Chris say what?
I have a point to make. This was Darian Durant running forward. He was past the line of scrimmage. He was tackled. The ball went up in the air and went to Sheets and took it down and scrambled. So if that's the continuation of a run, I would say that would be an illegal forward pass. Because it went
well,
from Durant's hands
to
Sheets' hands.
That's the question I had about the question that you're asking. Was he beyond the line of scrimmage when he lost the ball?
He was beyond the line of scrimmage when he lost the ball. The ball went up, and it went forward. Sheets grabbed it, and he ran forward for 42 yards. So to me, that would be, a fumble recovery and not a run, or it would be an illegal forward pass. Either way, those yards can't count for a run. I don't think that the play should have stood, because then it would have been an illegal forward pass.
Well, I say because of that play, let's replay the whole game. Let's get
fuck
Hamilton Saskatchewan back too.
Sorry.
For the Grey Cup, let's do it again. Come on. At least give my Ticats a chance.
Oh, that thing was
tonight. I'd love his input on that.
Well, Mike is still recovering from the hangover, I'm sure, from partying from the victory. Because he came on late with all the posts today.
I just got text message from Townsend, and he says that his signal strength where he is weak. When he gets a stronger signal, he'll call in.
Well, you can give him a message and tell him I'll call him. I can call him.
No. His self strength isn't there. So even if you called him, he wouldn't get good reception.
Oh, okay.
He's rolling his big rig.
He's slapping hands with everybody he can meet about the game.
Yeah.
He's a Ticat fan. He's not happy.
Who's a Ticat fan?
Mike Townsend is a Ticat fan.
Yeah. He's not happy.
He's not happy about this.
I'm surprised we're not hearing from Anase, or is he worried that is he worried that you know, maybe he's worried that because of all those comments about, you know, there being a conspiracy every time a team wins a Grey Cup. Now his team has won the Grey Cup.
What happened was is that Mike, you know how he hates blowout Grey Cups. Remember he was saying how disappointed he was with the Calgary Argo game because it was a blowout and it wasn't close, and you know he said it was nothing to be proud of because it would be more interesting if it was a closer game. So seeing that game yesterday really disappointed Mike. I know because he sent me a message at halftime saying, "We won the Grey Cup." And I replied, "Now you know, don't you hate it when it's a blowout?" Right? He didn't hate it too much.
Yeah, never hate it. Like we said, John, last year, we were honest about it. We don't care how well our team wins. All that matters is that they win.
Yeah, yeah. No, last year, I think Calgary was more of a threat to come back than the Ticats were this year. In the third quarter, I thought a little bit was happening. You know, I didn't really expect them to get past 16 points. Then again, guys, I don't know. The weather was superb. I thought for Regina, I mean, it looked. I mean, yeah. It looked almost.
It was
anything near zero. Anything near zero is beautiful in Regina.
Oh, it was
right?
Ideal.
Are we agreed?
Oh yeah. It was a complete non-issue yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know what was an issue? Not the temperature, but the wind was a bit of an issue.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was only 30K winds. That's not bad for Regina either.
30 to 50. It was 30 to 50K.
It could have been way worse.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's been
absolutely.
Way worse. I mean, just look at that other game. What was it? The Hamilton-Montreal game.
Yeah.
That had wind.
Yeah. Well, that was, you know, and we had
wind.
You know, I guess, let me mention that we have two more contributors, needless to say, when talking about Hamilton. Bruce, I want to thank you for, Bruce loaned me his shirt, his Ticat shirt. Now he says to me, I can have it. I feel bad about that, Bruce. I don't think that's right, but I appreciate it.
No, man. That's my gift to you, man. You hang that up in your man cave and think of me every time you look at it.
There are no men in this house. They're all women. I live with six women. There is no man cave. There is no man cave. Oh, you know what? There is a man cave. The garage.
There you go.
Now, who else is here? Who else has joined us?
Hey, you got Steve from Ottawa.
Hey, Steve. Nice to meet you.
How you doing, Frank? How you doing, John?
Good.
Chris? Bruce from Hamilton? Robbie? How are you, man?
Hey,
good,
Steve.
Good.
What colors are you, Steve?
One of my Ottawa people.
Yeah, Steve Myers from Ottawa.
Yeah,
no, but what colors are you? What are your colors? What team?
Red, black.
Okay,
we
got a Red Blacks fan. All right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on, John. We got two.
I'll tell you my story, though. When the Rough Riders first folded, I stuck with an Ontario team. I went with the Argos. Then I went back to the Renegades. And then when the Renegades folded, I went back to the Argos. And the only reason was because when J.C. Watts was traded to Toronto, I was a huge fan of J.C. Watts. So that's why I was sort of like the Argos were my second team.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say it was because at least we win champions and you would know what it's like to celebrate.
That's not good at all.
Thanks, Steve.
At least we can say Ottawa
win more 76. That's right,
yeah. Yes.
We won it 76.
Ottawa's better than the Argos when it comes to in the past 40 or
so
years.
I thought he meant when he was flipping back and forth through in the Renegades ages, right? Because after that he was going back and forth between the Renegades. And so did you get your season ticket, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I got them about two Fridays ago. I had a really had a low PR number. I had 247.
That's awesome.
So I got a pair. I got a like a nice pair of tickets, like not the most expensive, but sort of like
tier two.
Yeah, and in the I think for the two for the pair was $800-$900 with the taxes
wow.
and everything. So it's
wow.
expensive
perfect.
Enough, but
perfect.
So okay, this is the case. So after we visit Chris next year in BC, which is going to host us. Then we're going to come and visit. Then you're going to come. We're going to come and visit you and Robbie in Ottawa when you guys host the Great Cup.
Of course,
right?
yeah.
All right,
definitely.
There we go. I ended up getting
a pair of tickets. But the thing is that my wife is a really fair weather fan, so
uh-oh.
I know she's only going to go to two, three games.
Around October, November, she won't be going.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got it.
I'll come up from Vancouver
Steve,
and we can go to some games.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey, Steve. What we can do is we can go with you, and we can go to BC when the Red Blacks play for the Grey Cup next year.
Oh,
you think it's gonna be next year?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm thinking a couple of years.
Next year, man.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were supposed to be an
Argo
fan, Frank.
Huh?
No. You're supposed to be an Argo fan.
Well, no, I'm just sitting here having
the Argos
fun.
Aren't
I
going
mean,
anywhere near the Grey Cup
I'm an Argo fan, true blue, but I, you know, true double blue, in fact. But you know,
well,
the
you're already
saying
that,
we're having
that Ottawa being an Eastern team is going to make it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying we're just having fun, right? I mean, come on. What
you said
hey,
it, Bruce.
Just, listen,
you
at
said
this
it, Bruce.
Point in the season, guys, seriously, at this point in the season, everybody's in it. Everybody has a chance to win it. And if Hamilton didn't prove that, all right, if Hamilton didn't prove that this, that you
true.
Could make it to the Grey Cup from nowhere, I mean, you know, and the only reason Hamilton didn't win is that they didn't catch a break. It was like, you know, it was like the karma was
oh,
all.
Oh, they caught a break.
Come on.
They caught a break in Wells when interference call wasn't
oh,
called in the goal line.
Yes.
That
right.
was their break, Frank, and
okay.
all they had to do was go in there and win it in Regina. Look,
well, okay.
Regina
then let
had
me
a
put
good
it a
game.
Different way. John, let me
yeah.
put it a different
yeah.
way. Their luck ran out. They got a good
oh.
call
in
what's that town called that they were in there?
Guelph.
What's it called? Guelph, thanks. They got
Guelph.
A they caught a break in Guelph. They caught a
see,
break in by and hang on, let me finish. They caught a break with Cackard getting hurt cuz listen, I got to tell you Bruce, you know I love you, and you know I love Hamilton fans. But it would have been a different story if Cackard was healthy. It would have
yeah.
been a little bit different.
A little bit different.
A little bit. And it would have been enough to maybe make a big difference. You know,
maybe.
Is
Hamilton
just a pass
had
talk.
A good game. They had a good game. And I don't know, Frank, but you're right.
They ran out of
been...
luck when they went to Mosaic. They ran out of luck when they went to Mosaic. John, I was just trying to say, I was just being specific, adding on to your comment. All right, so... So let's do what ifs all night. Yeah, what ifs don't count. You're right. You're 100%. Mike, you're
count.
With us too now, right?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
Mike.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Not much, man. Down here in Louisiana, it's storming like it ain't nothing down here.
Louisiana.
We're supposed to get like 15 centimeters tomorrow, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, 15 to 20, I think, on Wednesday.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the weather and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
hey, Rob, we're tough guys in Ottawa, so that's not a problem, right?
No, God, no.
Yeah. I mean, if that was Toronto, they'd be calling in the army or something.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a whole joke.
No,
guys,
we don't have a problem with snow in Toronto. We just sent our mayor out. He'll suck it all up.
Oh.
He's gonna love you.
The coldest and the worst snow I've ever been in was the 1992 semifinal playoff game in Hamilton, Ottawa versus Hamilton. It was so goddamn cold. I was like on the sidelines and I was like freezing. I'm just like, oh my god, this is so cold. And yeah,
I think we have somebody in the room right now as part of the group here. John Granger was at the official Snow Bowl in Hamilton.
Not just that one, but the follow-up in Edmonton. That was the Snow Bowls. But that one in Hamilton, classic, guys. I mean, if you've ever seen, you know, a stadium full of snow and then it gets cleared, and then it covers back up again. That's what happened. It covered back up again while we're in the stand, so the stairs became just a ramp, you know, because it was all covered in the porta potties that they had around, you know, underneath were just, you had to pile through them, and people, it was unbelievable, but cherishable. I don't know if I'd ever want to kind of experience that because you miss half the game. You know what I mean? You're just kind of looking at everybody. Oh, something happened. You know what I mean? But
hey, John.
No,
John.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
Why is it with people when they go through a real horrible experience with time removed or time separating the experience, it seems so much nicer later on?
Oh, you know, because
you
there's
know what
same
I mean?
Thing, frostbite.
Because when you were
you know,
there,
the,
John, it couldn't have been
numbing,
pleasant.
The numbing of the fingers and your toes.
Exactly.
You
how
know,
romantic.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I
kind of like
I,
a marriage.
His hands were freezing.
Well, hey, one thing the commissioner was talking about maybe trying to start the season earlier, and I'd like it to stay exactly the way it is. I don't want him to move it down to, you know, beginning in June. I like the fact that, you know, wherever it's being held in November, if it happens to be minus 30 and it's snowing, that's what happens. That's
I get
the way
you,
the
well, Steve, but
yeah.
Steve, can I throw something in? Can I throw something
go
in,
ahead,
guys?
John,
yeah.
Can you guys think just about the fact that they're going to catch the kids at school here still, at least in Ontario, all right?
Mm-hmm.
When the Argos had the preseason game, they give out the school boards all these tickets, and they filled up the stadium. I think if they did start in the middle of June, their regular season, it would help. It would be like the end of the school year. You know,
well, they did that 1 year, didn't they? But oh, it was a preseason game, right, for Toronto
right,
1 year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
this year, too, this year.
And I now, get your point about the tradition, about the weather, but as you can see, you know, with this, you know, global warming and stuff, November is not really the November we remember it. And that's why, look at Regina, it should have been covered in snow. I mean, it should have been freezing temperatures, and it was beautiful, guys. That was ideal football weather. You can't
so
get
yeah,
it.
Really?
John,
yeah.
Are you saying Toronto has to give out tickets for fans to go watch games?
Preseason, yeah, they give it out to the school board kids. It's a great marketing idea. Sure they do.
And you only had 6,000 people showed up.
No,
I
think it was about 30,000 that were there that day, and it was about 18,000 school
year?
Board kids. That, yeah, check it out. I was at the
this
game.
Year?
No, last year.
Okay,
not
this
year. Oh,
this
year was at Varsity
Stadium.
This year
Toronto
had
one preseason, and it had 6,204 people showed up.
Yeah, that's a Varsity.
That's right.
We're talking about Rogers
right.
Center. Yeah, we're talking about the Rogers Center, though, that one, not the
that's
not
a
the
nice
one
location. That Varsity is a really nice location. Because when I'm on business in Toronto, I always stay at the Holiday Inn on Bloor Street West,
right.
And I walk right by that little stadium, and, if they could have somehow had fixed that thing up and maybe expanded it, that would have been a really nice location.
University of Toronto didn't want them.
No, I know that, but I mean, just the location. I think it's a nice-looking location.
Steve, to finish, just if I can add something to that scheduling a week earlier or 2 weeks
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah.
What it would help here in Toronto is the playoff game. Unfortunately, because of the third week in November, it lines up with the Santa Claus parade. Just because of that, now this is totally being selfish as a Toronto sports fan, Argo fan, it would be much nicer to have that game if it's played in Toronto, not guaranteeing that it will, you know what I'm saying, but if it is, it's nice that it isn't with the Santa Claus parade because I believe they lose some fans because of that, you know. Having said that, really it's just so that they have more of a marketability for the game. That's all. I just wanted to get that in. If it was a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, we would, right, John? We would avoid that fiasco that is, you know, the Santa Claus
parade
and
the
Argo
playoff. There's always something going on. So if you move it for one thing, then something else is going to crop up. You know.
No, but the Santa Claus parade is special, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not just the Santa Claus parade. You know, it is something. A lot of people show up for the Santa Claus parade. Don't kid yourself.
Okay. Can I add something here, Frank?
Go ahead.
I understand you guys thinking that moving the league or the schedule forward by 2 weeks would be better off for the Grey Cup game, but I don't know about Toronto, and Toronto being a diverse city that it is, I believe that it is, Vancouver is extremely We don't have fans that come out to games before Labor Day. The summer is
so you
late.
Would lose. So you would lose two games, is what you're saying.
I would rather the CFL season start after Labor Day than start on July 1st.
Or
in the same time frame as the NFL.
Or add another game or so to the season.
Yeah, but Chris, you know what? It's easier for you to say that coming from BC, where the temperature is above, you know, 0, 9 degrees
above rain
in the wintertime. So you living it through the seasons with the Edmonton and the Calgary and the Winnipeg and the Regina fans and, you know, our Ontario fans, even Montreal. I don't know. I think the majority would probably rather move it up a little bit earlier and finish.
Is that any worse than being in Green Bay?
No,
you get a couple more weeks earlier. Yeah, I don't know. I would love an earlier season. I mean, the earlier we start, and I don't know, guys.
They don't play the Super Bowl in Lambeau Field.
No, I agree. I'm not arguing with that, but they do.
But that's
play a
what we're talking
game.
About. But I think that's what the boys, everybody seems to be talking about. Is that, well, or at least I think that's what they're talking about. The atmosphere at the Grey Cup game would be
well.
Yesterday in
Ottawa was -16. Okay. If that game would have been yesterday in Ottawa, it would have been -16. It was colder in Ottawa yesterday.
2 weeks ago. What would have been, Steve? What would have been 2 weeks ago?
With Ottawa starting, it starts in October. You could have like a weekend or a week of like a -15 weather, and then a week later it goes right back to seven or eight, 10 degrees, and it'll bounce back and forth like that till about early December, and once December comes. Then it's cold and it stays cold. But October and November it's iffy. You never know. You know, it changes overnight.
Steve Richardson wants us to know that he wants to remind us that the Super Bowl is being played in New York. And Steve Richardson, the temperature in New York is regulated or temperate because of the Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
So it's not like other places on the
Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah,
it's still going to be cold.
John,
it's still going to be cold.
It's not going to be cold like here, dude. It is.
Yeah.
They don't go to zero
cold here in Ottawa yesterday.
Hey, Rob, we've got snow on the ground here, right? In Ottawa, right?
Yeah.
We've got snow on the
it.
Ground right now.
What's that?
We've got snow on the ground.
We got a little bit of snow.
What
on
is
the
that?
Ground.
Yeah.
Frozen rain.
No.
That's right. Yeah.
Does that really happen?
No, we've got snow.
Yeah, we got snow. I'm looking out my window right now, and there's just, like, snow everywhere.
I see that on the mountains. It has it up on the mountains. We have that.
There you go. Yeah.
Does anybody know when the tickets for the next Grey Cup go on sale?
That's a good question.
Not for February. February.
Usually for the springtime, yeah.
Grey Cup
because
is
the reason I say
year,
that
right?
is that the schedule doesn't come out till February, Mike. And last year it was supposed to come up, I think, come out on the 11th. And, John, it barely made it before March, didn't it?
I know, but you're sort of right. But we all know that what day it's held on. It's always the 24th, the Sunday, right? So, yeah.
Hey, Frank and John, I think I wouldn't be surprised this year if it might even be come out later just because of the fact that they're waiting to see how Hamilton and Ottawa are coming along with the stadiums. Because if not, if those stadiums aren't ready for July –
yeah.
They're gonna have to do some something with that schedule, as far as maybe Hamilton
right.
and Ottawa
Absolutely.
Starting on the road. Yeah,
you're right, Steve. But that's what happened last year is that they had issues with all the parties
and stuff.
No, last year the only issue was it turned out to be it was the MLSC Vancouver Whitecaps that had problems with the scheduling with the BC Lions that. Pushed the dates back and they kept on delaying it. I thought it was the Argos and the Blue Jays, but it wasn't. It turns out the commiss said that it had to do with, at least I heard it from the Argo office anyways, they said that it had something to do with the MLSC Whitecaps and the BC Lions scheduled dates crossing over, and they had to clarify that up. I thought the Whitecaps played in a different stadium. I didn't even know they played at BC until last year. Not that I watched the MLSC. But the schedule, Frank, there's bigger problems with the schedule. It's the contract. the players'
well, whatever,
contract.
The, whatever. The, yeah, well, whatever the reason is, there's always a reason. And last year it took us till the end of February, almost the beginning of March, for the schedule to be ratified. This year you can bet on the same thing taking place by virtue of what our friend Steve Myers just mentioned. At the end of the day, to answer your question, John answered it appropriately. We know the date. It'll be the third Sunday in November, and that's when it is. And but John, the question was, when can I buy the tickets? Well, the tickets won't be available, or the dates won't be available or confirmed until they put out the schedule.
Well,
not
Chris
schedule.
Would know because no, Frank, Chris. The season ticket holder in BC is the first one who gets dibs before
yep.
we even get a public sale. So he's the guy
yep.
to talk to. So what we do is we say, Chris, pick us, because he gets an additional 10 that you can order on each season ticket, I believe. I remember last year I ordered extra 10 for my two that I had set up. So I don't know. We'll have to talk to Chris about that. I guess you're going to get
Chris.
Notified, right, Chris?
I'd have to be a season ticket holder.
What? You're not?
No.
Oh!
You know what? That,
not, even
geographically,
not even a small pack? Not even a small pack? Like a six-pack?
I go to a couple games a year, but you got to realize I live over 100 kilometers away from Vancouver.
All right.
Okay. Like Hamilton's closer to you.
Disappointment in John's voice.
Oh.
Well, I tell you what, I know I'm going to Grey Cup next year, so I'm waiting for them to go on sale.
I'm going to the Grey Cup.
I can hurry up and get mine, too.
You don't, Mike, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
All
I'll
right,
take care of you all. We'll all make sure that it happens, okay?
It's a long drive from your place, Chris. It's a long drive from your place. I don't know if I want to go back to your place each night.
We're not going to.
I know, I'm just joking.
We're not going to. Stay in town.
Hey, guys. Don't worry about it. My adopted daughter lives in BC. I got to find out where she lives. She probably lives 100 kilometers away too.
Yeah, I'm going to the Grey Cup game this year, and I'm also hopefully Tim Hortons fuel to be open, be done on time. I'm going to a couple of tight cast game, and I think me and the missus is going to try to get to Ottawa so we can go to the home opener out there also.
Very good, yeah.
Good for you, man.
That's what I like to hear.
Townsend, don't offend anybody in this group by not letting us know when you're in the neighborhood.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to let everybody know. I'm coming out to Toronto too, Frank. Don't worry.
Hey, Mike, you have to get a passport. I don't know if you knew that.
Hey, I can get my passport. I can get my enhanced driver license and get me a Nexus card to fly into Canada when I go to BC. So I'm good on all
okay.
that.
Okay, good.
Hey,
and your
good.
Wife too, right?
Yep.
There you go.
I'll
and you
be going
bring
into
your
Ottawa
daughter.
This year for a
And game. You got to bring your daughter.
Oh, yeah, I'm bringing her. I told Ab, I said, when we go to Toronto, I said, I'm going to go ahead and get Sid the little blue mini skirt to put on a little trivia outfit and get her face painted and
nice.
Then hold her sign, get her sign and say, I came all the way from Detroit to see the Argos play.
Nice.
There you
nice.
Go.
Mike,
there you
what are you
go.
Doing in Louisiana, Mike? Man?
He's a driver.
Child
John.
Abuse.
He's a driver, John.
I'm
a truck driver, man. So,
all right.
Driving ain't nothing for me, you know.
I thought you went on to vacation in Louisiana.
Oh, nah, man. Mm-mm. I had to deliver a load down here in Lafayette, and now I'm picking up, and we're about to head to Connecticut.
All right.
Oh, yeah, you're all over the place.
Yeah, I try to be.
I was in Oregon last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Oregon last week.
Hey Mike, I'm going to be in Mississippi in April.
Oh, okay. What part?
In Clarksdale, just about an hour south of Memphis.
Yeah,
I'm playing
where Clarksdale is located.
Yeah, but we're at 61 and 49. I play a blues festival there every year with my band.
Hmm.
So.
Wow. Well, let's go.
Mike, you got a music in play for us? You want to do a musical
What's that?
Interlude for us? You want to do a musical interlude for us?
I could send you an MP3 during the week, and you could do it.
Perfect, do it.
Yeah.
Do you have something? Do you have something? Something that would suit the program.
Rouge Radio, I think, used one of our songs last year for the their intro,
Who?
Most of the season. Rouge,
Who?
Old Rouge, Oh, Rouge
Radio? Never heard of him.
La Radio Rouge Noir.
I'm kidding. We agreed to disagree.
That's okay.
No, it's fine. It's all. I love.
I never listened to it. I just knew.
Oh,
that
you should. It's good. They got Justin Bieber on there.
Oh, do they?
I mean Tyler Bieber, not Justin. Tyler Bieber. Sorry.
Tyler.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. Jason Sperling's a good guy. We did our stuff together, and I just couldn't agree on what we wanted to do, so we parted ways, which is cool. That's life. Listen,
Frank, can I ask Steve something? Since we've got a Red Blacks fan here, word went out today that Claros is refusing to re-sign with the Argos and wants to talk to Ottawa and Winnipeg
and do
the free agent. Yeah, so that's official today. That came out in the free press today. How would you feel about Claros?
He'd be my number one pick if we can't get him. He'd be my number one pick.
Well, yeah. They're definitely going after him hard.
But
so
they're not going to have to. They're not going to have to give anything up for him. They can they can sign him as a free agent. So it's not like they'll lose a pick.
The only thing I saw today about Claros was that he was looking for a new agent. That's what I read somewhere.
I'll be his agent.
But you know what? I think with the TV deals that's about to come up, I think a lot of players are about to start getting more money with these new contracts.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Well, that's where they're all going to hold. They're all going to hold out, right?
Well, you
later
know
on.
What? Because Mark Cohen, they're about to renew their contract with the NBC Sports Network, and then I heard that ESPN is trying to get a TV contract with the CFL also.
Before we advance to this point, we haven't spent much time on the CFL championship,
which I don't mind talking about, guys.
But guys, listen. Let's be nice. Let me start by saying this. Okay, John said the score would be 60-35.
What?
That's what guy here. It says John 60-35.
Oh, 16, not 60. I said 35.
Oh,
16.
Right.
60.
35-16. For
and
the
it
winner.
Was. It was at one point in the fourth quarter.
Aaron Nagy said 38-26, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
8-26, pretty good. I said 31-28 Hamilton. I was just a little bit off. 31-27 for Bruce. He was a little more off.
Just a little.
BJ said 28-21 Hamilton. Manasseh said 35-21 Saskatchewan. And he did pretty good there. Mike, I'm referring to you, Townsend, 36-33 Hamilton. Christopher said 35-26 Saskatchewan, not bad, or 27. He wasn't sure which. And Andrew said 37-13 Saskatchewan. So I think it's fair to say that Andrew Yule came the closest of everyone in his fight. I just wanted to take care. I'm just trying to, take care of business here and clean up some stuff. Allow us to, before we start moving, so that the people who are on the air right now with us, as John will attest, we go on all year. We started last year in December, if you can imagine. We started after the Grey Cup Championship by the Toronto Argonauts. And we had lots of time to talk about different things, and some of the stuff we're discussing right now, guys, fantastic. I love it. It's great that we're talking about all that other stuff. But I would like to take advantage of the opportunity here to talk about the Grey Cup. And at least, if you don't want to talk about the Grey Cup at length, at least, guys, one at a time, tell me what part of the Grey Cup you found to be the most attractive without being sarcastic because the game sucked. I'll start with you, Bruce.
Sorry, I gapped. What was the question?
Okay. what was the best part of the Grey Cup for you? I'll tell you what it was for me.
I can let you know.
Okay, good.
The people I was with. The people I was with, man.
That's cool. That's cool, Bruce.
You know what? We had an awesome group, guys. We went down before the game. The group of us, we grabbed a 13th family photo in front of the new Tim Horton Field deal that was being constructed. And we came back in. We had an awesome pizza and wings, sat down and watched a football game, man. We had fun. We lost, but we had fun, man.
Now, isn't that important, though? Isn't that what makes the CFL and the Grey Cup so great? It's another opportunity.
Bringing people together.
Family together. Yep, bring family and friends together, good food, and have a great time. Regardless, well, I'm not going to bullshit anybody. The score does matter. It would have been a better experience if Hamilton had a won for you, Bruce. But the experience on its own without them winning is pretty good, too, is what we're saying here, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Rob J. Embry, how about you?
My best part of the game, I know. Bruce is probably going to be like, Rob J. Embry, you little son of a gun, is when Durant was running with the ball and he got hit and the ball went up in the air. And what's his name there, the running back?
Sheets.
He got the ball and ran it 42 yards. I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Like, well, what happened to the linebackers and the DBs and everything? And he's just like no one's touching him, and he's like running right through everyone. Like
crazy.
Me, that was the play of the game right there.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a Ticat fan. I love the Ticat.
I agree.
But you know what? That play was just super. I loved it.
Very memorable. Yeah,
I
very
didn't
memorable
love it.
Play.
Very memorable. And I, just,
I didn't
like,
love it.
I didn't love it right away.
Yeah, you did. You said you loved it, bro.
Yeah. I might have been
defeated yesterday, but I'm still listening.
Yeah, you're stabbing a friggin' knife through Bruce's heart there, reminding him of that play. Man, you think you're loving it.
that was my highlight of the game right there, because it was just...
Robbie, stop it. You're killing Bruce here, man. Come on.
You know?
I'm not a Ticat fan. I don't even want to hear you remind me of that play.
Sorry, Bruce.
It could have gone so many different ways. Granger, how about you?
Turn a page. Let's turn the page.
Yeah.
Granger, how about you?
My highlight? Okay, I was going to be a little bit sarcastic. I was going to say something about Pigskin Pete almost stepping on one of the players' toes when they tried to do a chest bump. That would have been sweet. And an ankle bite there. Okay, you know what? I think my highlight was just seeing the visual green and the passion of a CFL town. Okay? That was at its best. I mean, anybody, we can't lie about this, okay, guys? If you guys had the Grey Cup in your city, and you had that kind of a colorful turnout and you know, celebration, nobody would be putting it down. You know, you'd be proud of it, right? So that was the biggest highlight for me. It looked good on television. It sold the league a little bit more, maybe to the people who were more disconnected than we are from it, right? So that was my highlight. It was a good, you know, the score and the entertainment value. So that made up for it. The visuals and the passion by the Lions fans, right? By the Ryder fans. I think that was my highlight for the game.
Beautiful. How about you, Steve Myers?
A little bit like what John, like the whole atmosphere, the whole week, prior to the game, the whole thing in Saskatchewan, Regina, I mean, you could laugh at them all we want, you know, and tease them and all that. But at the end of the day, if every other CFL city could take just a little bit of that mojo that they've got, a little bit of that little magic that they've got, and if we could just maybe learn how to borrow that formula, every city would just become that much better of a CFL city.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well,
and
a lot of teams could get there, Steve. A lot of teams could get there. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and then as far as the game's concerned, I had kind of point A and B. I said to my wife before the game started, I said, if Durant loses this game, they're going to run him out of town.
You didn't
Yeah, he wouldn't. Like, there's no way he would have played another game for Saskatchewan. So in a sense, when the game was over, I kind of thought, I think I was happy for the guy because I thought he's finally got that monkey off his back. Yeah,
vindication.
You know, it doesn't matter what he does from now on, he's won a Grey Cup. Whereas Burris, you know, even though he was for Calgary, he's won a Grey Cup before.
Yeah, twice.
And I was totally watching the game. I was really neutral. I wasn't rooting for anyone. I was just watching it for what it was. As far as the score, as far as, you know, it wasn't a great game. But for Saskatchewan fans, you know, you have to hand it to them. I mean, it was a party. And that's – who cares if they won, like, by, you know, 30, 40 points? They didn't care. You know, it's like last year in 12.
Steve, what you're saying, it makes a lot of sense, and I agree with you 100%. And to hype it up a little further, what makes me want to say something right here with you right now is they really didn't let their team lose, did they?
No.
I hear what you're saying, because that's what you're saying, really. They didn't let their team lose.
And as far as Bruce and as far as the Ticats, the way all I can say to you is you got to look at the Ticats this year. I think it was meant to be. They have to lose this year to get to that next step. And that's
you know
the way
what?
It is.
What happened in 1998? What happened in 1998?
Yeah, you guys lost. I think you lost to BC, right?
That's right. What happened in 1999?
You guys, McManus won the game.
That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen in 2014.
Well, that's great.
I thought the Red Blacks were going to be in BC.
No, I didn't say that, man.
I did. I said that.
I would have never said that.
I'm having fun. I'm saying, you know what?
I'll never vote for another team.
The Argos are going to be in BC. The Red Blacks are going to be Hamilton's going to be in BC. They're all going to – listen, guys, this is a time of year. The Grey Cup just ended yesterday,
right.
And now this is the part of the year where we all are starting from the same position. And for the first time in a lot of years, there's nine of us. There's nine teams that are in the hunt for the Grey Cup and all have an equal opportunity to make it there. And that's
absolutely, I agree. But I'm never going to root for another team.
That's
like,
okay.
You know, I'm saying that my Tiger Cats will be in there. You should say your Argonauts are going to be in there.
No, but Bruce, John will remind you that I'm very politically correct when it comes to the show. So, you know, I make it sound like I'm not pulling for the Argos sometimes, but listen to him laugh. But the truth is, I believe the Argos will be there. I believe that's my team. That's the team I want to win the Grey Cup. No doubt about it.
Hey, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
Like, is Burris even going to be back in Hamilton? I think there's a good chance that he might not be in black and gold next year.
I really hope he is. I really hope he is. But you never know. It's not up to me, right? I hope he is, but he might end up in Ottawa. You never know.
Because the way I see it, I don't think he gets along with Austin.
Oh, I
don't
know. They really get along.
I think we've all seen
that. You do, yeah?
Absolutely. You know what? I don't know if you're familiar with me calling in, but I went to all the practices all year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And him and Coach Austin really got together, man. You could even see it when they stepped off the field and they were talking to each other. And absolutely. They clicked.
Okay, guys. Yeah, the big moment is here. Mike Manasse is here. I think Manasse is here. But before we get to Manasse, no. We haven't given Mike Townsend his chance. Mike, your view of the high point of the weekend that was the CFL Festival Grey Cup game in Regina.
Who, Mike or Manasse?
You're Mike.
He's Townsend.
Manasse.
Oh, okay.
You're Mike. He's Manasse.
Okay, what was the question, Frank?
What was the best part of the Grey Cup weekend for you?
Honestly, the best Grey Cup weekend for me was just seeing the Ticats in the Grey Cup because, you know, that's my favorite team, and I have also said at the beginning of the season that I was picking the Riders to go to the Grey Cup. And, you know, Hamilton, you know, they silenced all the doubters at the beginning of the season because everybody said Hamilton wasn't going to do this, Hamilton wasn't going to do that. And they came back and they went 11-4, and the way they played. You know, I kind of figured they was going to be overmatched in the Grey Cup, but they didn't lay down completely. They were out of it, but they came back and they played and they tried to, get the offense going, but they just fell short at the end. So just knowing that the Tight Cats made it, that was my highlight.
All right, guys. Everybody congratulate on three. Congratulate Manasseh on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders winning the Grey Cup. One, two, three. Congratulations.
Yay. Hip, hip, hooray.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Hey, y'all, Christopher said he lost his internet, so he's trying to come back in.
Hi, Scotty.
He's here. You're here, aren't you, Manasseh?
Chris
Martin. No,
Chris,
I don't think it was
internet.
Manasseh. It was me on hold.
Was you?
Oh, you're back, Chris?
It was me.
Oh, shoot.
It was me, Frank.
Oh, okay,
I got kicked
Chris,
off,
sorry,
and
buddy.
I came back in.
Sorry, Chris.
I'm here, but thanks for the warm welcome.
I feel like I'm at a surprise birthday party, and the birthday boy just walked, the wrong birthday boy walked through the door.
Yeah, I'm taking back my congratulations.
Me too. Me too. I'm taking it back too. And I think Manasseh emotionally can't get it up. Can't get emotionally onto the show because he's, I don't know why. I mean, he must be busy at work. I'm just surprised. This is his greatest moment, don't you think?
I sent him a congrats Facebook last night, and he answered right away when I sent it to him last night after the game.
Well, he was thrilled, that's for sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But
okay,
he may just be burnt. He may be burnt right out.
There, he's probably napping. Him and Aaron.
Can I play with this one, Frank?
Yeah.
I want to answer this question for you guys. You want to know what the highlight for me this weekend was? And it has nothing to do with the game. And it has to do with Mike Towns and myself running the CFL's The Best Football in the World Facebook group for the last 2 years and dealing with the Rider fans and how in the face they are and how downright almost, I want to use the word abusive at times, and I was dreading the Riders winning this game because they were going to be in your face and yeah, we're the best and this and that, and they have been extremely, extremely respectful. And congratulating Hamilton for playing a good game. And the group has been a wonderful time for the last 24 hours, and I'm really proud of them all for doing that. Now, that might be because the main guys are still hungover. But I'm really impressed with the way that they're dealing with this, and they're handling it quite well, and they're not, you know, over the top, in your face, we're the champions concept. And
hey, Chris,
I'm surprised by that, and I'm really pleased, and I'm very proud of them for doing it.
And you know what? I want to ask them
for that reason. Go ahead.
I want to add something too. I agree with Chris. You know, and one thing I want to correct you on, Chris. This is our third season that we had this room going, and it really been a fun room. It's been a hell of a ride. And I do agree with Chris on the whole thing. You know, they've been really respectful about it. You're not throwing it in your face. You're not getting emails saying that the Riders are the best and Hamilton suck and all that. So, you know, I tip my hat off to the Saskatchewan fans. And
oh,
I like
guys,
to say thank you.
You're saying it too soon. All those guys who were digging it into you earlier are still hungover and partying it up. Their voices are...
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get tuned into the internet shit until at least 3 days after the Grey Cup, after our parade. Then I tuned in and started getting into it. So wait, they're going to rub it in. I'd hate to say you're right on the button, but if they were doing it beforehand, those same jerks are not going to go away. They're just going to get worse. The nice people who really, really didn't get hungover over the win probably are the ones you're seeing now, and kudos to those. But the ugly ones are still out there, man, so wait.
Yeah,
wait,
hey,
John,
guys,
you know what the good thing about this is? Is I have
what?
The delete button.
Oh!
There you go.
There
you go.
I have the delete button.
We all have in every group, we can argue about how many there are in each group, but everybody has what I refer to the poor winners. You know, there is such a thing as being a poor loser, which I almost can handle better than a poor winner. Like, poor winners suck, as far as I'm concerned. They're lowlifes. Like, if you win, you should be satisfied and gratified with the victory. And if it doesn't come out that people on CFL is, IZ, the best football in the world, if those don't appear, those negative Nellies that with every victory come, It will be because I believe that the Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans are relieved more than they are happy.
Yeah, I think a lot of them were relieved. You could just feel the tenseness just before the game. Like, even if, you know, here I am in Ottawa, I'm watching it on TV, and you could feel, you could see the looks in their eyes. Like, the week of partying was over, and now it was like, now it had just hit them. Like, it was 3 hours to go, and they knew if they lost, like, that was it. Like, Duran would have been run out of town. And, like, that team wouldn't, you know, even now the team might not exist. Like, that same team will not exist next year. They can't team together.
No, they can't, mainly because right now, as far as I'm concerned, they're over the cap. I think
no team is going to remain the same anyway, regardless.
After
no,
cap.
But I mean, I think they overspent. They built
Me
that
too.
Team to win the.
There's
no
too.
Thinking. We know.
We know it. I believed it.
I
felt it before the season started that they, by virtue of who they were bringing in, I'm going, where do these guys fit under? And literally, the word I'm using is under the cap. Where do they fit in under the cap?
Well, Frank, they did this, and they went over the cap. They're going to get penalized for it. We all know that. It's
and they'll pay it. They'll pay it.
And if they don't get penalized, then there's a real conspiracy going on,
that's
okay? Because the obvious is there,
me.
Okay?
That's
but let
John,
me tell you why
John,
it won't matter to – I'll tell you why it won't matter what kind of a team they have on the field next year, because the high that you get, and as a province – but never mind, I'm still on the high from last year from winning at home and only taking me 45 minutes to get home rather than 4.5 days, you know,
in
the silver
flight,
up from a Grey Cup trip or whatever, right? So the high is still there for Regina. Next year, they'll be still on cloud nine. I think they're probably not going to be going into the vault again until the new stadium is built and they get the Grey Cup back in there again, because they want to experience that again.
Yep.
So they're going to go belly up as far as the players. They can't afford all of them, not to re-sign. As Durant said, I hope I see the same guys next year, and I hope we can keep this team together. Don't they all say that after a Grey Cup?
Yep.
It's true, and does it happen? And does it happen?
Yeah, well,
Hey, John?
Yeah.
John, the reason it took you 45 minutes to get home after the game is because in Toronto you drove home in a car, and in Saskatchewan drive home in a
subway.
takes them 4 days to get home in Regina because they drive John Deere tractors.
That's right. And combines. And
combines.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I want to add something to this also. As far as the cap goes, we all know that Saskatchewan, they went south of the border to get a lot of their offensive linemen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they went south of the border to get some offensive linemen. And believe me, if you're going to get some NFL linemen that were one cut away from making a roster or second stringers that come to the CFL, you had to pay them. You really had to pay them.
Absolutely.
So
but they also had 8 local boys. Okay, they also had late 8 local boys. You know, the Argos had 12 last year. So the local boys represented in each Grey Cup this year, guys, I got to say.
Yeah, the local
boys
did represent the Cup.
John, the point is, and I think what Mike is trying to say, a guy like John Chick came back because they offered money. He isn't just going to come back because he wants to win the Grey Cup. He's going to come back, too, because the money was there, too. Let's not forget that.
The money was there. So just imagine if they signed these guys to one-year deals and they played their butts off north of the border, what makes you think they're not going to get a nice lucrative deal to come back south?
There you go. But, you know, I think John made the point when he said, when has it been that there's been a Grey Cup that the players end up not, and I'm inferring in John's statement, when is it that the budget doesn't go up just because the players win a Grey Cup? You know, that's to be expected.
Well,
and when you're starting with Saskatchewan that had, you know, they were over the budget as far as I'm concerned before day one. So it's only going to get worse now that they won the Grey Cup, no?
So it'll be interesting to see
Frank?
If Wally Bono starts doing the same thing, as of midnight last night.
Yeah,
because,
well, that's
you know,
hey, Wally Bono was on. Hey, he was under the cap on the 2011 Grey Cup, and in 2012, the team was almost fully intact. We did not lose anybody of substance in
all
the
right,
next
guys.
Year after the Grey Cup. We kept our team intact. because Wally Buono builds a team in which people want to play at, and will play at a reasonable
workout.
Hey, so right. Christopher, are you saying that BC need not make any moves for next year's Grey Cup?
I didn't say that. All I'm saying is that we need an O-line. We don't have one, okay? All I'm trying
apparently,
to say is Wally
Saskatchewan stays under will have one available.
Yeah, it would appear that way. Okay,
okay guys, I'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, bye, Robbie.
Bye, buddy. Robbie's
hey,
got to go to
thanks.
Work.
Hey, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm going too, guys. Are you going to be on Wednesday, Frank?
Yeah, always.
Always, eh? Until, okay, I wasn't too sure if the podcast was going to end in a month or so. Or you're going to keep going, eh?
No, Bruce. I started this show 5 days a week in January.
Okay.
So 3 days a week isn't going to be hard for me again. So, yeah, so we'll be doing Mondays and Wednesdays. Fridays, I've told the guys I don't know if I included you in the message. Fridays, I make a little bit of a change because The Rock starts playing. We talk about The Rock. We talk about hockey. We don't stop talking about football, but we share the time with some other sports. And also, I do some stuff with actors. And I hope she comes. I've got a supermodel that I'm going to interview, hopefully in the coming days, maybe even Friday. Her name is Dana Hamm, as in, you know, the same as the football player with two M's. Google her, and trust me, you will say that she is as good as Darian Durant is with what he does. She's awesome. And she's a really nice person, too.
Okay.
All right. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, I see. I just Googled the nice, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
Beautiful.
This chick is hot.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I guess her Google search just went up.
He's got a nice hand. Is that it, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Oh, yeah, she's got nice hands.
All right, Bruce.
Oh.
Make sure, make sure
we'll be nice.
Tonight, Bruce. Make sure you
okay, buddy,
tonight.
It's been a pleasure, and I'll be sure to tune in, man, from now
and
on.
And I will return your shirt. I really appreciate
your
offer.
No, man, I'm serious when I said you keep that, man. Just, you know, if you don't have a tight cat jersey, keep that
bad.
In your collection.
I feel really bad. I feel really bad because...
Don't feel bad, Frank.
I'm wearing it right now, dude.
Frank,
we'll
put it to good use. No worry, Bruce.
See,
he'll put it to good use.
I know
Bruce,
you respect it. That's the main thing, right? It's not going to get burnt,
Bruce,
you know.
Bruce, that's why I don't want the shirt. John's going to make me do something.
No.
John's a good guy, man.
No, I wouldn't do that.
We're all one big happy family.
Yeah, major
family.
Respect, major
that's
respect.
Right. We're one big CFL 13th family.
That's
there
right.
You. Like I said, to you on Facebook, we're all on the same team. Until game time and until the game is over.
That's right, Frank. That's right.
Right?
Well, I'd like to give a shout-out to the 13th family that's listening. We all came, just getting back to the game, we all went down today and saw the Tight Cats come in off the bus and even made it on the local CHCH news up here. And
Bruce,
but, you know, I was disappointed. There was maybe 10 people that came down to greet them off the bus.
Oh, that's all right. That's good.
You think you might be a little hard on them, maybe? You think you might be a little hard? You might be being a little hard on them.
On who?
On the fans that didn't show up.
I'm gonna jump out.
You know what?
I'm gonna jump out.
Good
night, Mike.
Okay, see you, Mike.
I agree with you a little bit, but you have to understand when I went to the rally to watch them leave too, and we had thousands of people. Clogging up Jervis Street and that other street in behind Jervis Street. And a lot of people were telling me today, well, they had to work. And I have a fan wall, and you're on it, Frank. I maybe have 200 people on there. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the general public in Hamilton that went to that rally. I bet you 70% of them, I'm not going to say 70%, but a majority, maybe 40%, are unemployed, and they had the time. A lot of them lived downtown, right? So they could have walked the one or two blocks to say, hey, guys, thanks for a good season, man. We'll see you back here next year. Have a good off season, because that means a lot to these guys, that these guys busted their asses. I know it's their job to do, but they did a hell of a job from where we came from last year.
I hear you.
It's on TH News right now. It's coming up next. If you guys got a TV in front of you, we'll be on the news next on CH News.
Okay.
That's awesome.
We'll check that out.
But anyway, guys, you guys all have a good night, man. I'll be sure to keep in touch with you, man, now that the CFL season's over. But when we're looking forward to next year.
Well, don't forget, we've got free agency to talk about. We've got what I do during the off season is I talk to a lot of – I hope to do it again this year. Talk to a lot of the prospects that could end up being on your team. So, yeah, we keep it alive. The Canadian Football League and Canadian football are the reason why I exist. And, yeah, I could change this show into being, you know, another one of those Maple Leaf shows or another one of those Blue Jay shows. But I would never be as happy as I am, you know, doing it as a CFL, especially because I feel as though I owe it to the people who are CFL fans because there just aren't enough venues for people to talk CFL football.
I was just going to say that you're the only guy I know that has a podcast on the CFL, and there's so many NHL, NBA, MLB, you know, it's not funny, but you have a great podcast, man, and I'll be sure to tune in no matter what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We do it for fun. That's about the only reason, and the fact that John is my main man that has been here from the beginning, and the new guys that have been here, Mike Townsend, Christopher Jones, Steve Myers, very new, and, of course, Rob J. Emery that isn't here right now. Really, I appreciate, guys, your support, and the CFL is a great league, and it's worth talking about, and it's worth keeping out there.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Johnny before I hang up. Thanks, John. It was a pleasure meeting you there a couple weeks ago at the game, and we'll keep in contact, too. And I hope
ditto
to meet
that,
everybody in person one day.
Hey, and don't forget, the CFL is...
the best league. That's right. Because you know
why?
Our balls are bigger. With that,
right,
I'll let you go and have a good weekend, boys.
Take care.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bye.
Hey,
is that true? Our balls are bigger.
Okay, that was Townsend.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here, y'all. I ain't going nowhere.
Is that true? Our balls are bigger?
Yep. Our balls are definitely bigger.
Okay, just wanted to make sure about that.
You're welcome for that plug, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, guys? We're talking about football in general and how we're the CFL is moving forward. We have Steve Myers, a Red Black fan, right here. You know, Rob J. Emery he sort of swings between historically being a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, but because he lives in Ottawa and he actually works in at the Canadian Tire Center.
Yeah,
which is the stadium for the Ottawa Senators. And the 67s. Well, the 67s owner is the guy that is bringing the CFL to Ottawa. And it is his plan that people applaud, Steve. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a marketing guru. Hey, listen, the Ottawa 67s, the Ottawa's junior hockey team, had 15,000 people out at a game last week. 15,000 for junior hockey. And that's a city that has an NHL hockey team. And when he took that team over about 15 years ago, everybody had said that team's going to leave. It's done. It's an NHL team, and, you know, nobody wants to watch junior hockey. City with two teams don't work. And he came in, and he just turned the whole thing around, and he knew it was all about, for the 67s, it was all about the youth. So he targeted the youth. And he's going to do the same thing with the CFL. He's not, you know, he knows there's going to be the old guys like me, the guys that, you know, have been following the league since I'm a kid, guy in his 50s. But that's not who he's going after. Like me is always going to come back anyways.
Right.
He's going to target the young guys,
exactly.
Young people,
you're
100% families.
Right.
He'll be successful.
You know, I read his bio, and when I found out who the Ottawa Red Blacks owner was going to be, I looked him up, and you're right. I read up on this thing about the junior hockey and how he changed that league. So I think this Ottawa franchise is not going to be like the other ones, really. I think Jeff Hunt, he want to win, and he's not waiting to build 2 or 3 years. He's going to build now because he's going to want to win now. Don't you think that's why?
Let's be clear about this. He has to accept what he was given unless he wanted to fight for something. And he fought for getting a better team right off the hop.
Yeah.
And I think
he gave up the name You know, I think he agreed to not be able to use the Rough Rider name, but I think that's where he turned around and probably worked on the what do we got coming up there on the 19th, the draft.
Expansion.
Yep. Yeah. And he said it's not going to be like that last draft we had with the Renegades. It's going to be like, you know, we want a pick one of the top, you know, the top QBs. And so that's how we ended up. But each team could, you know, if you look at Toronto, for an example, as far as I'm concerned, Toronto has, like, their quarterbacks are 1A and 1B, you know? And if I think if Ray was, like, 2 years older, they would have probably, they'd probably be keeping Kolaros. It's just that Ray still has a good 4 or 5 years left in him, so they're gonna keep him, right? Well, we think they are, anyways. We don't know who they're gonna.
Oh, they're gonna keep Ray. They signed him on. They signed him on for too much money. To make sure that he's the marquee player. I don't think Ottawa wants to take that kind of.
They're gonna protect him, yeah, for sure.
No, I think you're getting Kolaros. I think you're, unless Winnipeg throws more money at him. Because he wants to go in the free agent market. He wants the highest bidder. So, and the fact that both teams outright said that they want him, you know, his agent is licking his chops. You know, all right. Yeah. I got a CFL wanted guy in his, what, third year, second year? It's good. It's all good for him.
But they'll still need a vet. They'll still need a guy like Kevin Glenn, you know?
Yeah. I'd be worried about the Ticat fans. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year because it just is not going to be Burris.
Then Burris might end up in Ottawa because I think Ottawa needs a guy like Kolaros, a guy that played, you know, like a half a season, and is an up-and-comer. But they need that old, you know, that wily vet, you know, like a guy like a Burris or a Glenn.
Burris is not going to be happy playing second fiddle to Kolaros.
I'm going to tell you something.
Come again, Chris.
Second fiddle. Burris will not be happy playing second fiddle or sharing the limelight with Kolaros.
Yeah.
You're much better taking Kevin Glenn.
Yeah. It might probably, you know, Glenn has all these Tim Hortons. Glenn has all these Tim Horton franchises in Western New York. So to me, it's a great fit because if he comes back this way, he's a lot closer to his businesses in Western New York, which is just across the border, right?
And he also has some in Detroit, Michigan also, his hometown.
Oh, does he? Yeah? Okay.
Yep.
So I think that, you know, when I think Kevin Glenn, to me, it's a perfect fit, you know, for him to come over to Ottawa. I mean, he's not that far away from the U.S. border, and he's a couple of hours away, really.
But you know what, though?
I think you'll see Glenn and Kolaros in Ottawa.
Hey, guys.
Also, but what happened?
Hello?
What happened? I'm not sure, I don't know what happened there. I'm here. You guys can hear me, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Okay. Phyllis Babin wants to know where Manasse is. And I just called Manasse, and he just hung up on
me.
How come?
I don't know. That was the beep you heard. I called him.
Okay.
Well, in case I don't...
Maybe
my battery
with a lady.
Shit.
You know, maybe his phone died. Maybe his phone cut off. Maybe so.
Maybe.
Maybe he's with a lady.
I'd hang up, dude. Well, I wouldn't even answer.
I wouldn't even have answered. I wouldn't have hung up on anybody. I wouldn't even have answered. We just lost John. His battery just died. So we're down to about 32 minutes in the program. So hopefully a couple of you will be able to hang in there. I'll be talking to myself. You know, the thing about the Grey Cup that makes it so wonderful in my mind, if we can go back to the Grey Cup a little bit, we talk about how unifying it is in the country, and it's kind of funny because right now I've got three of you left here. Steve Myers, who's in Ottawa, doesn't have a team yet. Mike Townsend in Michigan, and Christopher Jones in BC. Do you guys agree that it's a unifying thing, and can you see Mike as not a resident of Canada, that it could be a unifying thing? Has the excitement, do you feel the excitement is that strong? And I'll start with you, Mike Townsend, as an outsider.
Yeah, I feel the excitement is real strong, you know. I mean, when you think of the CFL, I mean, come on, man, you think of a fast-paced game, high-scoring games. I mean, hard hits. I mean, come on, why couldn't it be exciting? I'm telling you, Frank, I had about five of my friends last night call me and told me they watched the Grey Cup for the first time.
Excellent.
They said, I don't know who this green team is, but I got to follow this team. When they told me that, I was like, oh, you them the Rough Riders. I said, that's what you're going to follow. I said, but, you know, you just have to follow the teams. I said, I can't really explain to you about the team. You're just going to have to follow the teams, follow the players. And hold on for a second. Let this truck go by me. Once you start following the league as a whole, you'll become bigger fans of the CFL, and you see the different game between the NFL and CFL. I said,
and
totally
college
different.
Football. And college football. It fits in the sense that it isn't like any of the other games, which makes it attractive, right? Which is probably
right.
Why you guys find, both you and Christopher, find the arena football so exciting, because it is different. It's still football, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And see, with me, with my arena football, I had season tickets when we had the Detroit Drive. I was a season ticket holder at the age of 14.
Okay.
3 years. And, you know, being downtown at Jewelers Arena, sitting right there by the wall, first row, 25-yard line, crowd hostile. You got about 23,000 people in the Jewelers Arena. Everybody's hostile, and somebody come running towards you. Towards the wall, running at an angle, and the linebacker hits him. Only thing you can do is duck, and you see the guy go about three or four rows behind you. So, I mean, it's an exciting game, you know?
Okay, back to the NFL. Christopher, yes?
Just a comment on that. You said that why Mike and myself are such fans of the indoor league. I just want to qualify that. I'm in the indoor league, the other group, supporting my friend Mike Townsend. I've honestly never seen a game except for the girls.
I have seen a couple of games. I've seen Orlando play.
I'm not even watching on TV or anything.
No, in live, it's a lot. You know what? Unfortunately, here's the part that I find sometimes frustrating. Some sports do not translate well on television. And Mike, I hope you don't disagree with me, but if you do, I understand. I just don't think arena football translates as well on TV as it does. It's a much better game live. Maybe because of that thing you're talking about. Maybe that thing you're talking about that you get a linebacker hitting somebody and they end up three rows behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is. I agree.
It's better live. And I tell people, if you haven't been to an arena game live, you don't know what you're missing. Watching, and I'm going to tell you, watching on TV, I turn it real quick. I'm not even going to lie to you. I turn it real quick because I'd rather be down in the action, because if you go to an arena game, you can sit up in the nosebleeds
and you're
close to the action.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, for instance, this past season, and we can change the subject after this, I did my all-arena indoor football tour. And this year, I went to go see the York Capitals, Lakeland Raiders, and who else did I go see? Another Detroit Thunder, because my friend is the owner and coach of Detroit Thunder, and I do some scouting for him.
Okay.
And I was in New York, Pennsylvania. The seating is maybe about 1,500. And who do I see playing over the New York Capitals? Former Toronto Argo and Winnipeg Bomber, Keith Stokes. He played for He played for the York Capitals. And I'm
the returner,
right?
There.
Yeah, he's the returner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wore number 3 for the Bombers, and I think he wore number 3 for Toronto also. And I'm sitting next to the wall, and guy gets the ball, and these two big linebackers, they're about 6'5", 6'6", about 340, grabbed the receiver, and they were coming so fast to the wall, I got up and moved because I didn't want them to crack the wall.
There you go.
So, you know, you go to an indoor game, man, it's much louder indoors, and plus the tickets are reasonable. I play front row, $20 to sit front row.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so,
let's take a break, guys.
About the game yesterday.
Go ahead.
Yep, let's talk about the game.
Okay.
I was really happy that Hamilton kind of showed up in the Grey Cup. After they went up 3-0, I said, okay, we got a chance. But when it got to halftime and the score was kind of like, what, 31-3 or 31-8 or something like that?
Something like that, yep.
I kind of got disappointed in the way I said the game is over with. But then I kept going back, you know, every now and then, and they were scoring. And I looked up. I said, okay, they're down 2 touchdowns. I said, we got time. And then when he ran into the kicker, I said, oh, my God, that's it right there. That's it.
That penalty was the turnover, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That was a game changer right there. Well, just to keep the facts straight, at the end of the first quarter, it was 7-3. The end of the second quarter, which is the end of the first half, it was 31-6. At the end of the third quarter, it was 31-13, and the final was 45-23. So I just took out my Daily Star and made sure I had the facts straight. But there they are. But it rings true what you said, Mike. Christopher, in your opinion, jump in there about the CFL and that.
Well, the only thing I want to say, question is one thing that caught me off guard. What was the deal with Chamblin and Austin at the end of the game?
Yeah,
Chamblin, snuff him completely here?
I think I know what happened.
Go ahead.
I think Austin came out, you know, came onto the field, and from what I understand is that Chamblin was heading out to shake his hand, but people kept on stopping him. So by the time Austin got, there was so many people out on the field, and that's when there's that photo with Austin with his hands out going, like, where is he? But I think they did meet afterwards. That's what happened with that.
I'll add something to that, too. If you were listening to the audio, you could hear Chamblin say, he said Austin,
Coach,
good game.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
I heard him say he acknowledged Coach Austin. And they both sort of weren't looking at each – well, Austin wasn't looking at him when he said it. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Okay.
But initially Austin had that look like, you know, like, where is he? You know, like, what an asshole type of look. But I think everything was okay afterwards.
Well, somebody probably told him you weren't paying attention to him when he was trying to acknowledge your presence. You weren't looking at him. And that's what I think happened. Austin wasn't looking at him at the right time. And needless to say, it's pretty much bedlam there, considering it's the home turf. You know, that's to be expected that there would be some confusion, right? I mean,
I was actually surprised that the fans didn't all jump onto the field. To be honest with you. So they must have had really good police. They must have had really good police presence because, you know, to keep them off the field because, you know, in the past, some of those fans could get pretty rowdy.
There you go.
Drinking that Pilsner beer.
There you go.
Damn.
Did you guys hear by Thursday they had sold over $1 million worth of merchandise? Rough Rider merchandise. Just during the week.
Wow.
$1 million worth of it's crazy. It's nuts.
Well, I tell you what, that $1 million worth of merchandise is gonna help pay for the fine they're gonna get.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you consider in 1995 they made a $27,000 profit.
Yeah. And you guys probably remember, you're old enough, Frank and John and Chris probably remember when they had that telethon years ago in the '80s?
Yep.
It was like one of these little local TV telephones,
yep.
Send in $5, we got to save the team, you know?
Yep. They were in the negative side of the ledger for a long time.
They were just like the Ottawa Rough Riders, honestly. They were just as bad.
Yep, they were.
Yep.
The best group, we
have people post their picks all the time, and we're looking at them, and the same people are posting picks of them being here and being there and being here and being everywhere. And every time you see something, they're wearing Rider gear. It's always green. It's everybody around them is green. Everything else. I talked to a couple of them, and I says, "Like, do you have any other clothing?" And they honestly have told me that 90% of their wardrobe is Rider gear.
Is Rider gear?
90%.
Your shoes wet, man.
I mean, I'm a Lions fan for 42 years now. I have like a hoodie and a jacket and six T-shirts. You know,
right.
That's not even 1% of my wardrobe.
Yeah. It
doesn't make me less a fan, but I mean, these guys are obsessive.
Okay.
They sure are. You know, you do have to remember, and I don't mean it as a slight, but, you know, you go to Saskatchewan, you go to Regina, it's not like there's a lot to do.
I think it's starting to change a bit because it's you know, the economy there's really starting to roll, but it's certainly not Toronto. You know what I mean? It's not Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's not Montreal. It's not even Ottawa, you know, but.
Even you guys
who have been to Ottawa before, you guys will really be surprised next time you guys come to Ottawa. You guys will not believe how Ottawa has changed in the last 10 years. You guys will not recognize it.
Steve, I managed a subjoint. It's a restaurant. It was a restaurant up by the Parliament buildings, but at Bank and Fifth, which you know is in the shadow of Lansdowne Park.
A Subway? You mean a Subway restaurant?
No, Fat Albert's.
A Fat Albert's, that's, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used to manage one of them. I managed the one at on Bank Street, right by the Parliament buildings, by Sparks.
Okay,
Sparks.
Okay. I used to go to the one there at near the Lansdowne, at Bank and Fifth, I think it was that.
Yeah, that's the one I managed. They sent me down there, and I really didn't want to go because too busy and too small.
Yeah.
And it was right there. It was right there at Lansdowne Park, and you know what? Football fans are awesome. Fans in general are awesome. You know, and people go to a game to be entertained. And if I can bring it back to the CFL, even though the game last night was not a nail biter by any stretch.
It was still a showcase.
It still was very entertaining.
Yeah, and it was a showcase because there was people from all over the world watching that game, and it looked good on TV.
The only negative thing I can say is that what's his name, Carolyn? Forrest Gump.
Tom Hanks.
Forrest Gump changed allegiance in the middle of the game. He was wearing Hamilton Tiger Cat colors, and after the second half, he's changed over to Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Well, he knows his box of chocolates. He knows his box of chocolates.
Yes, right.
Which I thought was funny. And that was kind of nice to see Tom Hanks there with Martin Short. Martin Short, of course, a Hamilton boy. And, you know, he probably told Hanks, you're in for a treat here. This is just amazing.
Yeah.
This is gonna be
it sort
amazing.
Of had that, a little bit of that John Candy 1991 vibe, didn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, they were there and they were having fun. And I enjoyed watching Tom Hanks learn how to do the Oski Wee Wee chant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw them with
Pigskin Pete was teaching how to do it.
Yeah, Pigskin number 4, right?
Yeah, that's right. The guy that John was referring to earlier—that he almost stepped on the tie cat toe when he was doing the bump.
I like Pigskin number 3 better.
Oh, the
that's
old
for
guy.
Another show. That's for another show.
Who's Pigskin number 3? You got me.
The previous guy, the older guy.
Oh, okay. Well, there's been 3, right? He's the 3rd now, isn't he, or something?
Oh, I thought he was the 4th, but yeah.
Okay, 4th, that works for me too. That works because I know.
Well, I'm guessing.
Well, it goes back. What people don't know is it goes.
It was
back.
A hockey thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hockey thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Hamilton Steelers, wasn't it?
Wasn't it the Wildcats?
Wildcats. That's right.
Yeah.
There's history, you know, and I think that's what makes the CFL so grand, is that it's not something that just started last week.
Well, that's the other thing, too, Frank, and I just meant to mention when you mentioned about the going back to the 20s with the Wildcats, there's something that I've heard so much, and there's been a lot of bad press about the Red Blacks name. A lot of people don't know that the Ottawa Rough Riders nickname back in the 1800s was actually the Red and Black.
That's
right.
That
was the team's So that they actually went to Red Blacks, to me, it doesn't seem like so ridiculous.
No, well, you see, that's what I agree with you. I agree with you. And what people don't realize is that it goes back to not just the real early time. It also goes back to the RCMP, who are red and black.
And that's
where the colors come from. And it is the color of the community. The Ottawa 67s are not red black by accident.
No,
it's part of the history.
Frank, your pigskin paint started by a guy named Vince Wirtz in the 1920s.
He
was pigskin Pete until 1966. His son Bill Wirtz took over in 67 to 75.
Right.
Paul Wheeler took over 76 to 06, and Dan Black has it.
So he was number four.
Yeah, you're right. He is
so
number four.
Yeah.
He's got his own page.
Do you guys know, is he paid? Is he paid employee?
I don't know about that.
Or is he volunteer?
I don't.
Well, knowing how much the CFL pays, I would put my money on volunteer.
It wouldn't be much. It'd be a stipend.
An honorarium.
Yeah.
I think he might get his ticket paid for.
Yes.
Free admission.
Got to go. Hey, listen, if they let me go to the Grey Cup game and paid my way there, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Remember, I like watching football, right? So,
I know, like anything else,
if you can be where you want to be and it doesn't cost you nothing, that's you're ahead of the game, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, anyway.
Hey, Mike, do you mind if can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mike?
Just get.
Yeah, why Vancouver? Like, why is that you choosing to go to that game, to that Grey Cup?
Because of the other guy.
Because of Chris? Is he
go
gone?
Ahead, Mike. He's talking to you, Mike.
No, I'm here.
Mike? His phone still looks like
well,
it's up.
Chris is there, but
yeah,
I don't
I'm
think
here.
Mike is there.
I'm here. I had the phone muted because I was taking care of some business.
Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, repeat your question.
Yeah, Mike, why did you decide to go to next year's Grey Cup? What was the thinking behind that one?
Well,
like why Vancouver?
Vancouver. The reason I was going to go to Vancouver because, for one, I was going to meet up with Chris, and we were going to have a good time partying. And secondly, I was going to go to the Grey Cup game in Saskatchewan this year, but the birth of my daughter.
Sydney came along.
Sydney came along, and so, you know, I had to put everything on hold for her. So,
and
I'm going to go to Grey Cup next year.
Have you been to BC Place?
I have not.
Yeah.
And
that looks like a really nice stadium.
It is a great stadium. Steve,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you saw Sydney, you'd understand why she rules everything.
Yes, sir.
That's Mike's baby? Baby girl? I've seen her, yeah. She had the little Rough Rider outfit on today, yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
You know what? I would like to say,
child
to say on air. I would like
child
to say on
abuse.
Air, thanks to Debbie for buying Sydney the Rough Rider outfit. She sent it to her when she was in the States. And thanks again, Debbie, for listening. Thanks again. And Debbie is a friend of mine, real good friend of mine. Wouldn't trade her for nothing in the world.
And where's she in Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan, yep.
Oh, okay.
Can I see that paperwork for the seal number?
Okay, he's going back to work.
I didn't write it down.
He's going back
to work. I think Mike's making a delivery.
Yeah, Mike's making money.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike's making money.
Yep.
All right, so.
I'm trying to. I'm trying.
So next, this year we've got what we're looking forward to in the coming weeks are free agency. Now that the Vanier Cup has been decided, there are some players, many of them from Laval, that will be prime candidates to be drafted by the Canadian Football League teams. It really is going to be interesting. This is just the beginning of us talking about the CFL.
Yeah, second century for CFL, I think we're looking good.
I think so, too. Christopher,
yeah.
As far as BC hosting the Grey Cup, having hosted it recently, how big a deal can it be out there?
Who's turning left?
Well, that's me, man.
Mike, to answer your question.
I got my...
Oh, shit. I just turned off his mic.
I got my four-ways on because I'm doing safety caution right now.
Yeah, we heard your four-ways, and we were going tickety-tickety-tick over here.
Click, 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 yeah.
Okay, go ahead. No, don't apologize. Go ahead, Christopher. And Christopher just disappeared.
Oh, did he? Is he on Skype? Calls
no.
him on Skype?
Yeah, he's having a problem with his internet, so he'll be back.
Yeah. Okay, listen, let's take a short break. And we'll be back after this short break. If you're interested in calling in, here's one way to do it. If you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down, come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argos Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank!
It is a first down for Ottawa. The football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again. Looking, gets all kinds of protection. Throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown!
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le Rouge et Noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. The Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Mais le rouge et noir se retrouve d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF. Des couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black. À tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir, who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city, et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition. As we begin to forge our own, et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley, and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown, we are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes les Rouges et Noirs d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Okay, we've got Steve and Mike still with us. Everybody else has fallen over the wayside. And part of the reason is that nobody wants to talk about Saskatchewan. And there you go, he's back.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. No big party this time?
What do you mean, no party?
Well, last time I came back, y'all sang happy birthday or something to me.
Well, we didn't know it was, we thought it was Manasseh.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, Chris.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Warm it up, Chris.
My internet keeps crashing, so I lose my Skype line, so I'm sorry about that, guys.
No, don't worry about it. It's all good. So here we are. The season's over. And let me ask you guys something. As far as the season's concerned, highlight and low light, what was the highlight and the low light of the season for you guys? So I'll start with you, Steve.
I think the highlight might have been Hamilton playing on the road the whole year. I mean, it's when you think of what they had to go through from beginning to end, and that they actually made it to the Grey Cup. I think that's something that wasn't really talked a lot about. And I mean, the whole if you watched all the coverage during the week, I mean, it was all right. It was all Green Riders, right? And so to me, that Hamilton, I think just because what did they finish last year? Were they 3-15?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they ended up, what were they, 10-8? 10-8
right.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's phenomenal that they actually got, improved that much in 1 year. A low light, I don't really know if I have a low light. Maybe seeing the end of Anthony Cavillo.
Good one.
Yeah.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, even though I think he's had, he's had the illustrious career and everything, and he's the all-time, what is he, passing leader, and he's got all the records. I think it's still sad. It's still, it's still sad that I'm pretty sure he's not going to come back. So I think, we've seen the last of Anthony Cavillo.
Well, to the era, right?
And I was at Sky Dome at the game when the Argos were, I'm telling you, there was no more than 10,000 people at the game when the Las Vegas posse, with Cavillo at the helm, he had gotten his leg broken.
Ow.
I was at that game. I was in Toronto that weekend, and I had gotten in the game. So I go back, when I think back to Cavillo, I always think of that. Like, that was probably his. How many years did he play? Was that was his 1 year with the, with those guys, right? Las Vegas.
It was two or three.
Was it 2 years? Yeah. Okay.
It was at least 2 years.
Okay, so I'm not sure if it was his first year or second year, but the guy's been around, right? I mean, he's been around for a long time, played for a lot of teams, had a really hard time in Hamilton. He basically got kicked out of Hamilton, and basically became Tracy Ham's backup. And it's so to see the guy go after all these years, it's sad to see, but I mean that's the way it goes, right? And I think, I gotta go back on my word. The highlight this year had to be the new QBs. Never have I seen that many new QBs, and good ones.
Yeah, we agree with you here on the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris?
I agree.
What's this? Highlight for the year?
How about you? Highlight and low light of the year.
Well, the true confirmation that Ottawa's coming back is a highlight for me. I think that the lead up through all of this, the red-black name, the stadium being built, watching all of this, the excitement for me about having our ninth team back in the league is without question the most stellar thing that could have happened this year for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy for the people of Ottawa. I'm happy for the people of the CFL because it's a great thing. The low light for me is a game between the BC Lions and the Montreal Alouettes in garbage time, Mr. Lule decides he wants to run in for an extra touchdown and breaks his collarbone or dislocates his shoulder. Right there I said, that's my season. The Lions are done. And I wasn't far off.
And they struggled to get back to contention because of it.
They did nothing. Yeah. So that's my season.
Mike,
he was smarter, and he was a good quarterback. He wouldn't have done that. Pissed off.
More conservative. Mike, we only got a minute left.
Okay, my highlight. The season is seeing Ottawa get their team back after two failed attempts. I'm really high on the Red Blacks, and I can't wait to see them play. My low light of the season, I said in my room before the season started that my buddy Fred Stamps was going to be the lead receiver in the league. I hate to see that he went out and Edmonton went out the way they did. So I hope they can surround him with better players to help him get to the promised land because I really like Fred Stamps. And like I said, I told everybody, he's going to be the lead receiver in the league, and he was hurt at the end of the season, still led in receptions and yardage.
He's got a good quarterback.
Yep. You've got a good future,
guys,
I think.
Steve, Mike, And, of course, Christopher, thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, Frank. I appreciate
and
it.
And we'll see you on what we'll hear you on Wednesday, maybe.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cheers.
Good show, guys.
See you guys.
Have
care.
A great night, everyone. You've been listening
yeah,
to
God
Ken
bless.
Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. If you get a chance to spread the word, please do. We love the CFL. If you know people that love the CFL, we're looking for you. We like to think of ourselves as a refrigerator magnet, and we want to basically attract all the CFL fans that don't get a chance to talk CFL. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Frank Stanishi.